I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 441. I'm playing Batman, but I feel like Robin, one of the minor Robins. Best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister
and I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey there,
how you doing?
I'm doing a lot better considering.
Yeah you are. Yeah, you
like
are.
The inner turmoil has now ceased and the seas are now calm again.
Yes, and you know what sailors appreciate? Calm seas.
Mm-hmm. And not getting scurvy.
Yeah, not getting scurvy. Scurvy sucks. So there's that. I'm on the road to recovery as well.
You were coughing up a lung like last week.
Still coughing up the lung. It just doesn't want to go. But that's okay. It just shows how resilient I am, I guess. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I like resilient. Yeah.
We'll go with that. It's a good sounding word. Sometimes, depending upon how you use it. But, I got the E3 plague, and it didn't hit me until after I'd landed back home.
Well, that's usually how that works, just like with PAX POX.
PAX POX usually, like, last day of PAX, it usually starts rearing his ugly little head. Yep. And then it's just like, oh no, I caught the pox.
It wreaks havoc on your body and your soul.
It does. It really does. But the E3 plague... It legitimately, like, sneaks up on you. It's like, oh, you finished your flight home? Oh, you thought you were safe because you didn't get sick, right? Wrong! Who are you going to do?
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Hope you got a Z-Pack.
Oh, man. I actually swear by those things. Like, it's surprising just how
should how have good more those in are. My life, because this week probably would have been a lot easier if I had one in my life. So there's that. Going on. And also thank you to just real quick before you jump in any of the anonymous people who have donated to the GoFundMe to help me pay for my dog's care. I really appreciate you guys jumping in on that, so thank you. And if you haven't yet but you'd like to and you're like, hey, I want to help your dog out, Ninja, how can I? We'll include the link to the GoFundMe in the show notes so you can visit the website, check out the post in the podcast, and go right to the GoFundMe. Or you can go to electricsisterhood.com/nugget, N-U-G-G-E-T, and go right to the GoFundMe page. And give me your money to help my little doxy. So there's
give
that.
Give her your money. Give her money. Give her your money.
Please and thank you. So with that, we've got more game stuff to talk about. I have so much E3 stuff to talk about, guys. Like, probably for the next month, we're going to be talking about stuff from E3. Because there's just so much to talk about in depth. You know, we ran through the media briefings and the big announcements that really kind of took our breath, or the announcements that really didn't take our breath away. But we're going to be talking about stuff in depth, so... before I jump in to talk about my in-depth stuff at E3, because I was there and Panda wasn't, and it was, you know, a sad time for pandas.
Oh, yes, it was.
Especially because, you know, Keiji Inafune was there and talking to people and signing stuff for people.
Just keep rubbing that one spot. You see that knife over there? Just kind of, like, stick it in and, like, dig it a little bit.
Do you want me to put a little lemon on that?
Yeah, and also some salt and maybe even a little dab of mercury. From a thermometer, just crack it open and just...
I don't garnish with mercury. I garnish with avocado. So I can put some avocado
Is it healthy avocado or is it like rotten avocado?
No, it's healthy. Always Haas. Always Haas. So...
Okay.
That.
Well then, let me step in first and talk about some stuff that I've been doing this week. First and foremost, I just want to say that my topics today are a little on the polar sides of the bell curve. Like, we're going to go very intense.
You mean, what, polar sides of the bell curve? What does that even mean?
So, like,
you mean, you know, polar, like, opposites?
Yeah, like the polar sides of the... So the bell curve, like, it looks like a bell. So there's, like, an extreme over here, and then the general populace or general data's in the middle. And then, like, there's another extreme on the other side. So, like, the polars of the... Of the bell curve. Yes, I'm making shit up, but I don't care. Okay. But anyway.
All right. As long as you just admit it, because I...
The extremes. Okay. The on each side of the bell curve.
Opposite extremes. Boom. Done.
So we're going to go from... And I actually think I'm going to do it this way because I like to end on a higher note generally.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about my experiences with Batman Arkham Knight, because I finally gave myself the option... to see what the hype was about. And we have had talks about Batman on the
show. I have given you both of the previous Batman games.
You have tried countless times to get me into this series.
I even gave you DLC code so you could play the Catwoman missions.
You have tempted me with all of the things, and it just didn't seem to work. So I'm going to start with that. And then I'm going to end on a game from 1996, which I have been co-playing with my Biffle, which is... very avant-garde, I feel, for its time, and definitely kind of like how Ren and Stimpy was in the 90s. Like, it was just way, like, Nikola Tesla was for electricity, like, way before, like,
its time.
Yes. And I feel like it's one of those things, because as we were playing,
like, the Dreamcast,
I was like, what is going on with this? Like, my mind was blown. So I think we're gonna end there, because I have more positive things to say about that game called Toonstruck than I do about Arkham Knight, which should not be that much of a surprise to you in particular. So, yes.
I'm, like, this close to giving up on you.
Don't give up on me. Just realize that there are some things that are for me and some things that are for you. And then some of those things we can do together.
But Batman is for everyone.
Batman just will not... I don't feel these games will ever really be for me in a playing capacity. So,
well, it's the Batmobile things are bullshit.
I'm getting there.
Okay, all right. But so, outside of that, though.
So for people who don't know, Arkham Knight came out on the 23rd of June.
Yes.
Which was earlier last week. And people were pre-ordering it. They had pre-download codes, so, like, they could have it pre-loaded for the midnight release. People went batshit crazy. No, and all puns intended. And, I mean... I like Batman. I watched the animated series growing up. I mean, I tried to read some Batgirl once.
No, you didn't.
I thought about reading Batgirl once. That's true. And I mean, I've watched all the movies. I remember Bat Nipples. I bet a lot of people remember Bat Nipples.
Bat Nipples.
I remember Jack Nicholson's Joker. I remember the Penguin. I remember Pfeiffer in her Catwoman suit. I remember that horrible Catwoman remake with Halle Berry in it.
It's like, on the Netflix right now, so...
It is, and it's on Hobago right now, too, yep. The Catwoman show. But the movie. But anyway, like, and I...
You're aware of the Batverse.
I am. I'm not as immersed in it as you are, or other people that I know, but when I hear people talk about it, I can, you know, follow along and generate my own opinion about stuff, which is generally what I do any given day anyway.
Right.
So the Biffle went and had a preload of this game, and I was curious to see, because, like, he is just as excited about it as you are about the Batman series. And
what console are you playing it on?
Well, he got it for the PC, so...
Oh, well, that even throws another monkey wrench in.
Well, yes and no. I mean, for someone who didn't really fall in love with it on the console, because I just felt like it was very heady for me particularly, and... You know, unless you weren't sitting next to me, Ninja, I couldn't sit through it. Like, I just couldn't bring myself to just do all this stuff in this universe, which is weird because, you know, so as I saw him loading it up and him playing some of it, he decided to do a whole new start one for me so that, like, I could see what the whole story is for Arkham Knight. So, the information I'm going to tell on the show is not full and complete because I did not play any of the other Batman games to date. So I am not fully versed on what's going on. I have a vague concept of what happens in Asylum. I did not play Origins at all. and I have no idea what happened in City outside of watching you play some Riddler stuff from City when you were playing City. So I'm just saying that right now. So if anyone wants to throw hate at me, you perfectly can, because I'm not well-versed, and that's fine. But from the start of Arkham Knight, you pretty much get to see this cremation thing starting up. And you start seeing pieces of somebody's body. Like, you see a foot here, or chest piece here, and you realize it's the Joker. So I'm going to assume, and from what I've heard from the Biffle, the Joker dies at the end of City.
Yep.
And it starts off with his cremation. And the interesting thing about that startup is that as you're watching it, it looks like a, you know, just a simple FMV. And you actually have to interact with it to start the process of cremating the Joker. And then you get this nice narration of a voice pretty much saying that it had been a week from that point. And I think it's Sharp. Sharp or Gordon, who's doing the overlay. And they're like, the Joker died last week. I had to press the button myself. We were anticipating a shitstorm. Like, we thought the rival gangs and all the baddies were going to come out and, like, kind of try to take over what was, like, Joker's turf and blah, 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 blah. But eerily enough, like, crime kind of decreased for a while. And it seemed like, you know, the city was kind of coming back into its own, which was nice. You know, everyone's guards were down. And then all of a sudden, this happens. So then it puts you in the perspective of this cop who's doing, like, a regular standard beat. And he goes to a diner where he kind of semi-flirts with the waitress there, who gives him, like, a coffee and asks him what he wants. And, like, it's Halloween, so there's, like, Halloween stuff all over the place. And this random citizen's like, there's a guy smoking in the back of this establishment. This is an anti-smoking place. So you as your character get up and you start walking towards the back where there's this guy looking outside of the window that is completely paled, completely being impaled by rain. And I know that this is a tactic that is used when you're using the Unreal Engine, because I guess things come off a little glossy and shiny. So to make up for that, they like to do a lot of stuff that involves, like, things appearing to be wet. But anyway, guy's looking out the window, and he's not smoking, but this backpack that is on this table is. So you go to put your hand on the guy to be like, hey, buddy, what are you doing? And it completely turns around, and it's essentially, it looks like a zombie, demon, scary-faced type thing. And then all of a sudden, the whole diner just goes apeshit. And then it pans out to it being a segment from a newsreel, and you find out that it is an attack from the Scarecrow. So the Scarecrow at this point has now made an attempt on the city. And he is pretty much saying, you've got this much time. I'm not giving you any more warning. And this is only, like, a droplet of the new stuff that I've been working on. Because I believe, if I remember Scarecrow correctly, he worked a lot in fear gas.
Yep.
And he did neurological things that made people hallucinate their worst fears and stuff like that.
Yep.
Okay. So he's made this new serum that literally, like, this whole diner just goes nuts. Like, people are, like, monkeying, like, they look like gorillas, and they're jumping on things, and they're ripping, and, you know, I believe you're the cop guy that you are at first actually might have shot people, but you don't know that for sure, because, you know, you're under this hallucinogen. But anyway, so that's happened. The city, Gordon and Sharp, they just pretty much get people on buses, and they're getting them out of the city. So most of the city has been abandoned, but some people have decided to stay behind, but these are not, like, the most pure, kind-hearted citizens who are left. It's pretty much the dregs of the dregs who have decided to stay and try to monopolize on whatever it is that they can monopolize on. So Batman is obviously sticking around because he's trying to help the cops who are staying around to try to, you know, calm everything down. And you pretty much are trying to track down the Scarecrow and trying to figure out what he's making, where he's making it. And along the way, you're going to encounter some other baddies who have also stayed around. I think you see a shot of the Penguin walking with Two-Face at one point. I know Poison Ivy is still around. And that's all that I've personally encountered. So like I said, this encounter with this game, I'm seeing it on a PC as opposed to a console. Highlights, it is still absolutely beautiful. I can't dismiss it on that alone. It's absolutely, absolutely beautiful. I do feel it kind of resonates closer to Christopher Nolan's version of the Batman universe as opposed to, like, the Tim Burton
Yes, and if you'd play the other our
games,
yeah, you would know that.
Right. Well, I mean, I saw you play a little bit of City, and I'm like, oh, well, this is really pretty. Or, you know, but, like, I couldn't get into it. But anyway, so I was watching all this unfold, and, like, the freaking cloth mechanics on his fucking cloak, like, his freaking bat cape is pretty freaking insane. And not that I know this from a personal standpoint, but I imagine that is probably pretty hard to do.
Yeah,
I think it's probably in the same vein as like hair mechanics and stuff like that. So, you know, I hope they're not throwing too much money into these type of mechanics, because while they're beautiful, that's still a lot of money to throw into them. Seemed like frame rate happened to be an issue. And I know currently right now that a lot of people who bought this game pre-ordered and stuff like that are experiencing a lot of similar problems. And it's gotten to a point where I believe, like, if you bought it from Steam and you're attempting to buy it from Steam now, they're pretty much redirecting people to, like, a refund page or a we're not selling anymore because there are some serious, I want to say, like, B-class bugs or A-class bugs that they're trying to correct before they re-release it for purchase, which is not a great sign, Rocksteady. Not a good sign that you have to recall more orders of something because something is so broken. But anyway, like I said, it's beautiful. When it runs, it doesn't seem too choppy, but there are some times where it is a little jaggedy, it's a little janky, which can completely and utterly take you out of what's happening in the city. So I did play some open world stuff where I was trying to find Riddler trophies, and I was trying to take pictures of things, because I guess Riddler leaves you these clues about certain landmarks or something, and you have to take pictures of them to unlock further bits of that so you can find the trophies and stuff like that. I was doing a little bit of that. Apparently there's a serial murder thing that's going around where you find a body and you're trying to figure out who or what did it. That seems pretty cool. I don't know if that's an element that's happened in previous games or not, but that was pretty interesting.
Yep.
They really try to find a way to teach you how to properly Batman, which was refreshing for me, especially since I didn't play any of the other ones, so it's not like I already had a pre-existing notion of how Batman should operate. And that was a really interesting tile grid, like grid web of leveling up and stuff. It doesn't feel as heady as I felt when I played Asylum, which is weird because Asylum happens literally in one place, as opposed to City, which opened up everything. And I didn't play Origins, so I don't know anything about Origins at all. But I feel like, and this is just me speaking as me as a player, that I will not find enjoyment in playing this game. I feel like this is something that I could watch somebody play and get into it, only because I know that there's a lot of story here. I know there's a lot of and it's all wrapped up in this really beautiful bundle. And usually I love games like this, like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Revelations. Like, I played the fuck out of those games and got every little piece of everything, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And I feel like from the setup in Arkham Knight, like, they're really kind of erring on that same side that Ubi likes to play with in their games, like the big map with all these little things that you want to go around and these collectibles that you want to get. Like, it's presenting all the things that I, as a player of games like that, open world games, love, but there's something about it that just pulls me out of it.
Yep. And it's the fact that you're not actually in love with Batman
I think that's what it is,
because Batman, none of the Batman games are any slower paced or any faster paced than any Assassin game.
So,
and you're right, there are, the way that the map is set up, it is very much similar in all of the side missions, side quest things that you can do. But it is a very dark game. And so,
I'm not opposed to that either. Like, I happen to like gritty things. And I mean, like I said, like, I feel like I could sit there with popcorn and watch somebody else play and piece all that other stuff together. Like, I feel like when I play this game, I feel more like a sidekick more than a hero. And I don't know, I don't think that makes any sense. It may not.
It doesn't. But, you know, it's you.
But This is what I feel like. So when I played, it was very tedious. I didn't want to walk through everything. Okay, I have to go over it. But the minute that I was not in control of what happened, like, it gave me that.
It was much more enjoyable for you.
It was, I could sit back and watch, you know, the Biffle do what he's doing and be like, oh, well, I thought I heard.
Because you watched Batman, you didn't read Batman comics.
You know, so
that's,
I mean,
what
I
it
feel
is
like I'm a,
for
I'm
you.
More of a spectator. In this type of game, I need to be a spectator and not be the participant. And I mean, and it's not like I don't contribute because, you know, like all of a sudden, like Gordon will say something over a comm and I'm like, oh, well, he said something about this. So could it be that thing over there? And it certainly, so it's not like I'm not aware of all the cues and stuff that are going on in the game. I just don't.
You're not the Batman.
I'm not. I am the Robin. And even then, I'm not even.
You're not really Robin.
I'm not the Dick Grayson one.
No.
I'm not the one that becomes Nightwing.
No. No, you're not.
No. No. And that's fine.
That's okay.
Every Batman needs a Robin, so it's okay.
Right. It's cool.
Like, I'm fine with that.
Right.
But then, you know, because apparently there are other little mini missions that can help you get more points to power up you as Batman, the stuff that you use as Batman. Lucius Fox is in there, and I feel bad that they couldn't get Morgan Freeman to do it, because now every time I think of Lucius Fox, that's all I think about is Morgan Freeman. I mean, the guy
because
is
playing there's nobody that's Lucius that's not Morgan Freeman.
Right. Well, I don't think Warner Brothers Interactive has rights to that Batman universe, so they couldn't use those likenesses, I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe. But, I mean, the guy is not half bad, but, like, there was just... he was doing a mini mission with the Batmobile where, like, he had to take out these other cars... which, because the whole city's abandoned, if a car rolls up to you, it's got baddies in it. It's just a given because there are no good people really left and stuff. But it was really kind of hard to navigate the Batmobile because the Batmobile is now kind of like a tank now. Like, it's got these weird wheels that kind of look like balls.
So is it the Batmobile from the last Batman movie that Nolan did?
I don't think so. Because I do think that particular Batmobile is something that you can unlock to be your vehicle. I did find that part interesting, and I'll get back to that. But, like, this Batmobile that you're in, like, you kind of have, like, these weird extended wheel things with the wheel basins that could kind of move. And, like, they look like giant balls. And so they roll, which is fine. And that gives you, you can, like, strafe.
It's good that balls roll, because man,
balls,
if they didn't.
Balls do roll. No, but... but, like, you know, wheels are not balls, though. Wheels are like cylinders? Wheels are cones?
No.
China, what?
No.
Wheels are,
Round.
No.
They're round.
They're not, okay, but they're not a sphere. So these are like spheres.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they roll. And they can roll omnidirectional. So, like, you can... it's like skating.
Yeah.
On those... they're, like, skating on those weird... rollerblades from the 90s that were giant balls.
Yep.
Like those.
Yeah.
And then at some point you can turn it so then on the other, I don't want to say side because they don't have sides because they're round, but on a different plane of the sphere you have like these weird like tracks that like tanks will have, like those things. And then that plants it back down in your little... you got a little less mobility and it's more of a sturdy vehicle. But you know, they give you all these things to stabilize your movement while you're going really fast because they kind of want you to be like zipping around the town in this thing. And it's just so, I think it's way too much so that when you're doing all that and you're trying to stabilize so you know where you're going, you want to lose sight of where you're going because you don't have like a HUD. You have, like, this scanner thing in the side that you can hear conversations being happen. You have, like, this weird number line timeline thing that, like, if you're getting closer to something, an icon will get bigger or smaller, but it doesn't really help pinpoint exactly where you are in the space. And, I mean, you could go way out to the map, but it only helps you, you know, so much. So I feel like I get too consumed and everything that is available to me. And I mean, when you're Batman, you have ridiculous amounts of money. Of course you're going to do all this shit. Like, he just doesn't need... he's just trying to find a way to avoid having to pay out to the taxes. Like, I understand Bruce Wayne. Like, that's a lot. That's a buttload of money. And you don't want to have to give it back to Gotham. I understand. But damn, son. Damn. Anyway, so apparently something else that's going on in this, the story, the narrative, which is interesting and enriched. Like, I want to continue watching him play it because I want to know what's going on, because they are alluding to the fact that the Batman is going to die in this game. And I don't know if that's just the mantle will be dropped and then there will be no more Batman, or if Bruce Wayne is going to die or whatever. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what Scarecrow's true intentions are, because it's not like he was just trying to terrorize the people of Gotham, because he gave them a chance to get the fuck out of Dodge and they do just that. And I mean, from stuff that I've heard, apparently in City, kind of the same thing happened, where Hugo Strange was just trying to kill bad guys in City, I think, or did kill some of them. And stuff. But so, I mean, obviously there's a different intention, there's a different motive that we have not been privy to here. I think one of the things that really threw me out of Arkham Asylum is that I spent a lot of the time that I did play it in detective mode, and it just doesn't seem like there was any valuable point of not being in detective mode all the time. And I feel like, you know,
doing the side missions, you don't want to be in detective mode all the time. You only want to be in detective mode when you're trying to find clues, because you're not sure of where you're supposed to go. That's what detective mode is supposed to
be. I spent all my time in detective mode. I'm like, what's the point of having this beautiful, beautiful game if I'm just going to put on my special Batman glasses and see through shit? And
that's the thing. You're not supposed to have your beautiful, beautiful Batman glasses on all the damn time.
I did, and it threw me out of, and I was like, there's no
point. Well, that's your problem. That's problem one. You're only supposed to have them on where you get someplace. You're like, all right, I need to detect some stuff. And then once you detect the stuff, you take them off.
Well, I didn't. They just stayed glued.
Batman a very ugly game for you.
It made people and players like me feel really incompetent about figuring shit out, that we have to use Batman's super awesome money to be able to do what general players who love the universe, like you and my Biffle and like 18 billion other people that I know, who could just naturally infer, because they, like you said, they have lived and been cultured by the Batman universe, so they kind of have an idea of what they should be looking for. Whereas I'm like, doop de doop de doop, I don't know, let me just put on my special cheek glasses. Oh, that guy's a little disturbed, I wonder why. I felt like it made me dependent on that ability. And I don't like that as a player. Like, I like when people, when I am given something in a game that I can use, but don't feel like I have to use all the time. Like, I like just having the access to an ability, but not having to constantly have to use it in order to continue my progress through a game. And that might be another reason why I lost interest in it. But if you love Batman, and I know a bunch of you guys do, and I'm not
talking about being the Batman
and being brooding in the rain, then you will enjoy this game. Like I said, I enjoy watching this game. Like, I like the element of watching things unfold and kind of trying to follow the progression of the story to maybe potentially help the Biffle or whoever else I'm watching play these type of games make those connections that they might not inherently see. Like, another thing I was a little confused about is the Oracle is in this game, and she's a young Barbara Gordon, and apparently it's after the Killing Joke, and she is paralyzed, which I kind of knew happened. Spoilers if you didn't know.
Yeah, that's how she becomes Oracle.
But apparently, one, her dad doesn't know she's the Oracle in this game.
Correct, he doesn't.
So I don't know if this is stuff that people already know in the canon. All right, so Jim Gordon doesn't know that Barbara is the Oracle. Mm-mm. I don't know if Jim even knew that Barbara was Batgirl, and that's what kind of led, because apparently he feels bad about the chair. Like, she's made mention about he feels responsible for it. And I don't know if that's because in the canon, maybe her father was happy that she was going to take up the mantle and be Batgirl. I don't know. You would know this better than I would. But
no, he feels horrible that his daughter's in a fucking wheelchair. Well, because the Joker tormented her and her mother.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
Read the Killing Joke.
No.
So, yeah.
So, all right. Well, anyway, so So, I mean, I
Joker
knew...
did really, really bad things. Really bad.
Well, I mean, and then it led me to think about Injustice and the whole Superman deal. And I'm like, how on earth does the Joker manage to do these horrific things to such powerful people? But that's neither here or there because I'm talking about Arkham Knight and I'm not talking about Injustice. But
we could talk about Injustice.
I was a little thrown off because I thought that Barbara was older than she's being presented in this.
Well, as long as she's not being presented as a teenager, then they're fine. Because she,
I think
she should be in her mid-20s.
Okay, because, like, she, in my mind, she scales, like, a 22, 23 in age.
That's
like, she's
not far off, yeah.
No, but she, I mean, and I mean, apparently what's going on in this series is that Jim thinks that she is out of Gotham and she's apparently hanging out in the clock tower.
Yep.
Stuff. And, like, she came off a little younger than I was anticipating she was. Like, I thought she was older. Like, I thought she was probably in, like, the 25, 27 range. So, I mean, it's a little off to see. And then...
No, it's about right.
And something interesting that's going on in this is that you will get unlockables for characters. So, like, currently right now, like, there's the Batman of this game. You get the Batman from the anime, which I never saw. He looks kind of weird. They show the new 52 Batman, and he's, like, a little overly muscular.
New 52 takes a little bit to get used to.
Like, I saw him, and I'm like, well, he's so beefy.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, he's a little too beefy for me? Like, steroid beefy? And we've encountered Robin, and not the Dick Grayson one. It's the other one. Because the Dick Grayson in this game is Nightwing. Mm-hmm. So it's the other one. And I know that there's multiple other ones, so I'm not being very clear when I say which one it is. Is it Tom? Is that what it is?
Just keep moving, Panda.
Anyway, so, but every time you encounter them, you can unlock different versions of them. So, like, I think they're going to show, like, an anime version of that Robin and a new 52 version of that one. So, like, you can pick and choose what your characters look like when you interact with them. So you don't always have to look like that, the particular game style of Batman. Like, they're playing up on the nostalgia of the Batman franchise, which I appreciate, obviously, for artistic reasons and stuff. They do make Harley Quinn a playable character, and you could play her side missions kind of in the same vein that they did for Catwoman in whichever one Catwoman was in. Was that City?
Oh my God.
Was that City?
Hurting my soul.
Sorry. I'm trying. But, like I said, so as a spectator, I absolutely love it. Like, I will sit there with popcorn with truffle butter on it and not the bad kind. Truffle butter. And I will watch this like a movie and enjoy every step of the way.
I'm really surprised that you haven't mentioned the fact that your voiceover crush loves are in the game. Both of them. Nolan North is Penguin.
I've only seen Penguin once, and he says like three words. And
Troy Baker is Two-Face.
Get out. Get out.
No.
Get out right now.
No.
Don't believe it. Anyway.
Yes.
So as a spectator, if that's what you like to do, like if you like games that look more like movies and you just want to fall into it and not have to think and just follow along, then, you know, find someone who loves the play mechanics of this and do that. I feel like a lot of people will enjoy this game. I would like them to fix a lot of their stuff because every 2.5 seconds I'm hearing the Biffle say something like, oh, well, this sucked and this sucks and I want this to be fixed and I want this to be fixed. And for me, I'm just like, just play the story. I just want to know what happens to the Batman. I feel like a mom. I feel like a mom watching a kid play a game and I just want them to get to the end so I could see what happens. But I'm not appreciating all the finite things that make this game great. And this game is great. I'm just, you know, I just want to end on that note that I don't hate it. It's just not for me. If someone bought it for me for my birthday, I would take it and put it on my shelf. I know, it sounds horrible. But
it's a horrible, horrible thing.
It's the truth, and I'm not going to lie to people. It's just not for me. I try. It's just not for me. But anyway, I think I've eaten clearly enough time on this weird.
Is the Robin Tim Drake?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That guy. That one. That guy. And it's weird because, like, his character animation, like, when they show him, like, he's holding, like, a metal Bowie staff type thing. And, like, he's doing that weird, weird arm flex where it kind of looks like a C and he's holding the bow staff, like, way down low. And I'm like, he looks like he's, like, humping it. Like, it was.
What?
Kind of, yeah, he looks like he's kind of, like, humping the bow staff a little bit. It was a little awkward. Anyway. If you own the game now, then play it. If you were planning on owning it, you're gonna have to wait a while because they got some shit to fix. But you will have fun one way or another, and that's really kind of up to you as a player. As for me, I will sit promptly on my couch with my snacks and just watch it like an innocent bystander of Gotham who doesn't want to get beat up or have my brain taken over by neurological gas. And that's all I have to say about Batman Arkham Knight.
It's really sad. Really sad.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna be honest.
Look, not every game is for everyone. Like, I don't like any game that has any jump scares, and you try to convince me that, oh, it just has one, but one is one too many. So
yes,
there's some things
only had one jump scare in it.
There are just some things that are for some people. And some things that are not for people. Okay, I accept, although it really pains me, that the Batman games are just not for you.
Just not for me.
As far as playing, spectating, you're fine.
Yes, absolutely.
See, that's how I feel these days about Final Fantasy games. Like, don't enjoy playing through Final Fantasy games anymore. They're just too laborious for me and too slow, and I don't enjoy it.
I agree with you now. Like, now that I've had the issues with the 13s, like, I went and got the Final Fantasy X-2 for the PS3.
Yeah.
Because I did not have the PS4 at the time. And I tried to play through it. And I mean, and that was the first real, like, Square Enix game that one mom rented for me. Eshmom got me from Blockbuster. So this dates when I played it, guys, because Blockbuster, come on.
Yep.
And I only had it for, like, a week because, you know, rentals weren't super long then. But I went out and she let me buy it after that week. And, like, it took me a whole year to beat it because I had no idea how this type of game worked. But I loved it. And when I went back to it, now as an adult, I'm like, I couldn't even get to the first major fight boss battle with Seymour. And that's, like, nothing compared to what goes on in the game. And, I mean, I don't know if it's just because I'm old and I don't have the attention span that I had when I was, like, 11.
Wait,
and, like,
you had an attention span when you were 11?
For a whole year and never got bored. I went after all the legendary weapons, and one of them, you literally have to be out in the thunder plains and you have to avoid thunder 200 times consecutively. And I did it. So I had enough patience for that.
Wow.
But now, it, you know, being 30, nearly 31, because yes, my birthday is coming, and I had to bring that up because that's just what I do. I couldn't sit still long enough. And I think it's just a matter of age and preference. And it's really kind of sad because, I mean, I love Square Enix. And, like, and I half say that biting my tongue these days because they have just produced so many things that have hurt me in a way that I've...
But Tomb Raider. So there's that.
So there's...
That
there
takes away some of the pain.
Tomb Raider's in those clouds.
Okay, Hitman's going to take away some of that pain, too.
It is. And, like, I see the cloud. I see it's dark in the middle, but I see those silver linings, and it makes me hold out my hand and say, give me what you got.
Because Rise of the Tomb Raider, though.
King of Kingdom Hearts is in development. Not that we didn't already know that, but...
Yeah, we knew that when they did the announcement trailer 2 years ago at E3.
Right. Like, it's coming. I mean, and so, I mean, okay... But, you know, there are some scars there.
I mean, the dope-ass ship, though, the neon ship, though, from the trailer did look kind of bomb, though.
I agree.
I'm not going to lie. I got hype again.
But anyway, so, I mean, that's my little rant on that. And then, briefly, I was playing this interactive point-click adventure game back from 96. So, once again, I'm kind of dating myself with Blockbuster and renting and all that stuff.
Yeah, you are.
And the game is called Toonstruck. And
it's called what?
Toonstruck.
Okay, like you hit a tune?
Like you are just being bombarded by all things tuned. So think Cool World.
Toon like is cartoon?
Okay. Yes. So think Cool World.
Uh-huh.
Plus me, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
Plus Phantasmagoria 2, A Puzzle of Flesh. Really? Put all that in a blender.
Really?
Bring it down to its basic, most common, and then take the smallest sippy straw you can, shove that in your mouth, and suck on it for 4 hours.
That does not sound pleasing.
It doesn't, but that's just because you don't know which elements of what are there yet.
I don't like surprise things up a straw.
Well, at least the straw's not up your butt. Anyway.
At least.
So quickly, the story is around this guy named Drew Blank, who is played and voiced by Christopher Lloyd. Like, literally, it's like him, but back in the 96th era of, you know, mocap. And I know it's not even mocap that they were using back then, but it's him. I think it's like video capture and stuff, actually. It's probably close to that. Anyway, he is an artist at this company. He has made this cartoon with this really cute pink bunny who kind of looks like a anthropomorphic Bugs Babs Bunny from Looney Tunes, from Tiny Toon Adventures.
Okay.
She's like that color, big eyes, kind of that style of animation. And he does the animations for this show. His boss, who is Ben Stein, is like, we need to put some new oomph into this cartoon. And since you made it, you need to do it. And it has to be on my desk by tomorrow morning. And it's like 11 o'clock-ish at night now. So, like, he's sweating his bullets because he's trying to come up with this idea that's going to wow his boss. And he ends up falling asleep. And he gets sucked into this toon world via this TV in his dream. And I'm using air quotes for a lot of this. But anyway, so now he's in Cutopia, which is this country kingdom with all these cute, happy cartoons, you know, who just want to be cute and happy all the time. And he meets King Hugh, who is literally this king with a giant smiley face for a head. And he smiles at everything. And he just realizes that there's this evil force who is pretty much helmed by Tim Curry. And this bad guy is literally taking this ray and he's turning everything that's cute into everything that is lucid and exotic and kind of like skanky. Like, he's turning everything into pretty much like New York.
He's making Skanktopia?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. And he's going around using this beam to do it. And King Hugh pretty much appoints Christopher Lloyd's character to pretty much fix Cutopia and help him build this machine that will allow him to, you know, correct all the skankiness that has been happening in Cutopia. But in order to do that, you pretty much have to get all these things for this Malevatron thing. And literally, you're finding the opposites of the stuff that's already in it. So, like, things that go together, like Sugar and Spice and Cloak and Dagger. So, like, you're looking for all these pieces. And it's literally like this giant scavenger hunt of, okay, this person A has this problem. They want this thing. You have this thing, which doesn't really tie into everything that you need. And you have to meet all these people that all have these things that they want because they will somehow tie into what other people want. That will help you get the things that you want so that you can go home and get fired by your boss. I haven't completed the game yet. We are pretty much at the tipping point of the game where we've gotten our twist, which I'm not going to spoil. The game is raunchy, though. Like, some of these jokes I didn't realize until this morning when I thought about it are definitely not kid-friendly. So this game back in 96 is making, like, BDSM jokes with a cow and a sheep in, like, a torture barn. And I'm like, this could not have been for kids. And it isn't. It clearly isn't. It kind of gave me the vibe of Ren and Stimpy in the air of, you know, these jokes were completely made for adults. And they just spun them in a way that, you know, kids wouldn't get them until they were older. And adults, if they happened to be watching that episode, would get it and be appalled that this was being conveyed as a children's show. And that is completely what's going on in Toonstruck. It's pretty easy to navigate. It's pretty fun. I am really enjoying a lot of the jokes because a lot of them are downplayed in conversation. So it's not as slapsticky as you would assume, especially because you are in a cartoon world. So you think they'd play that up, but they don't. It's a lot more sophisticated than you would think. Anything that has Tim Curry in it gets my seal of approval. Mm-hmm. And I think this might have been around the time that he was doing Fern Gully. I remember when Fern Gully came out. I think that might have been 98. So this was in the same ray of Tim Curry as, you know, as that. And, I mean, if you have Steam, I would suggest you buy it and you play it. Because it's absolutely fun. It is ridiculously fun. I've loved every second of it. And I'm sad that we're going to be finishing it off soon. Because then I don't know what we'll play next together, actually.
Well, it won't be Batman.
I will watch Batman. So he can play Batman. I'll just watch. I don't mind watching. I like watching. So
she
that's
said
fine.
As an audio clip.
I enjoy it. Anyway, so those two games, you can find them on Steam. And I actually think you can also find them on GOG too, which is I don't remember what it stands for. Something of games. But anyway, a gaggle of games or something like that. I don't know. But you can find them there. And if you play them, I mean, I know a bunch of guys are playing Arkham Knight, so like I don't have to worry about that. But if you play Toonstruck and you have anything else you want to say, I would love to have the conversation with you. And that's all I have to talk about this week.
So hit her up on Twitter.
Yep, at LadyEsh on Twitter.
Or hit us up on the Facebook page.
Love to have this talk. I really, really would.
If you want to talk to Toonstruck or yeah. Arkham Knight.
Yes.
Try to convince Panda to play it.
Good luck. Good luck.
I don't think it's going to happen, guys. I think we got to let it go.
But that's what I've been doing. What have you been doing?
I've been going through my notes from E3. There's so much to talk about. I mean, we will have a bunch to talk about Astro headsets.
Yeah.
Soon. Because Astro revealed a whole new line, updated line of headsets, and we will definitely be talking about the updates to the A38 line, as well as the update to the A40 line. So now it completely supports Xbox One game and chat with a new amp that actually connects directly to your controller. So you're able to have short distance between your wirelessness and wiredness on the headset, as well as the updated A50, which looks nice. I like the new colors. I haven't had a single problem with my existing, but they did come out with a new AG1 cable that allows you to connect to the existing adapter for the Xbox One controller so that you can have chat with the A50s as they are without having to buy a new set on Xbox One as well as PlayStation. So we'll have a bunch to talk about with Astro real soon. They're sending us a bunch of things for us to play around with and review, so we'll be able to talk to you guys about all that stuff from a hands-on perspective, which will be awesome. But I've been going through my E3 stuff and trying to figure out like what I want to focus on this week, talking about in depth, and man, oh man, it's so hard to nail it down because I have so many things to talk about. I saw so much cool stuff, guys. So much cool stuff. But I think I'm going to talk a little bit more in depth this week about Disney Interactive and my time with them on Disney Infinity 3. Because I spent a big chunk of time at their booth, and I have to apologize because I'm sucking down a cough drop while I do this. So if I sound a little weird or I slur words, it's not because I've been drinking, unfortunately. It's because I actually still am very congested. My big thing with Infinity, as you guys know, I'm an Infinity fan. I have figures from sets 1 and 2. I play 2, mostly in the toy box these days, because I just enjoy mixing my characters in the same universe and crafting new things whenever I can. So I was very excited when they announced Infinity 3, which will be coming this fall, and that they will have Star Wars play sets for it. And we talked a little bit about all the characters that they had out on display and all the different artwork that they had, but I think that it's very smart that they're coming with 2 play sets right off the bat. One based off of classic Star Wars as we know it, that ships with a Han character, because why wouldn't you ship with Han Solo?
That's right.
But also has available as characters that you can get in that set, Chewbacca, Leia, Luke. And I can't remember if Admiral Ackbar is going to be a character or not, but if he's not, it should be down the road. I mean, the universe is so big there. But you have that as one playset, which is basically the Empire playset. And then you have the playset that is based off of the Clone Wars arc that's been going on, that's been doing really, really well on the Disney Channel. It has a really good install base, and frankly, some really good Star Wars storytelling. I was a little worried about it, but the Clone Wars actually won me over.
Really?
Yeah. It took a while. Okay, you gotta get through, like, the first six episodes in season one before it really starts catching its groove. It's kind of like a late bloomering anime.
Okay.
And so, but it did finally win me over. And, you know, Ahsoka is a badass character. She got through a whiny phase real quick, because that was a little bit of a hard thing to take. But it really, really worked. And so I was looking forward to the new series starting up, and that they're having a playset built off of those characters, I think is really a smart move. I like Sabine, who's one of those characters. She's really badass, loves to fight, and is really into personalization. So as she takes out stormtroopers and bad guys and things like that, she likes to keep souvenirs, pieces of their armor, and then basically tat them up, like put her insignia or other artwork on her keepsake, which I think is pretty badass. I like the balance of the characters, and I think that's going to do well in Infinity. But having the entirety of the Star Wars universe join with all of the Marvel universe that's now available, plus the straight-up Disney that we know traditional universe, I think it really makes it a much more accessible game for families, because kids are going to love it for the Disney characters that they know and love growing up with. So for the Frozens and the Tangleds and the Snow White and the
Actually, Cars. Is there even a Infinity character for Snow White? Are any of the, do they have them for the original princesses of Disney?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So you have the Wicked Queen that's in there. You have Maleficent. You have I don't know if all of the princesses have been released yet. And then you have those that are newer princesses, like Jasmine's in there with Aladdin in that playset. I don't believe that there's a Snow White playset yet.
Well, that'd be a good one, because you get seven dwarves out of that one.
But I'm sure that that's coming. So not all of the princesses are available yet, but I think they will be. Because you've got to work out those mechanics, right? Like, what would a princess's world be? What are the characters that would ship? Because typically, with any starter pack that you have for Infinity, you get a playset and you get two characters. So you can have two people playing, basically, at any time.
Right.
It's very rare that they ship a starter pack or a playset with more than two characters and the playset. But I think what's very interesting about 3.0 is all the additional things that they're doing for the toy box and for the playset. Because when you think about playsets, they're really pretty limited, even though the worlds are fairly good sized. You know, you have, like, really key core, like, 12 events that you have to do, and then you've run through the story that's in the playset, right? And then it's just doing little mini missions in the playset, running around to get more baubles, to get more sparks for things that you could do and use in the toy box. But you've pretty much run the story course. Well, in 3.0, they're creating new challenge discs, some specific race discs. So in addition to the crystal playsets, you'll also have these other core discs that you can do these specialized things. So if you love the racing, you'll be able to get the racing sets and have all different kinds of tracks be available and bring your characters, customizable cars, into all these race sets. I did one where we were racing through Pumpkin Town. So it was based off of Nightmare Before Christmas.
I loved that world.
It's a great world. And it was a really fun racing track. So think Mario Kart, but now brought into Nightmare Before Christmas. because you had power-ups that you raced through and you could then use against other racers. You had arrows that you would run through that would speed you up through certain sections. They have one that they're building that's going to be raced based off of Sugar Rush, which is the race that happens in Wreck-It Ralph. So they're going to have that, which means you're going to have your customizable vehicles that you could build probably through the candy generator, King Candy's car maker, I'm sure, which that'll be really fun. And it's so expansive because you can basically do that for pretty much every Disney property that you want. Obviously, a Cars one is a no-brainer, but that also allows you to do one for, technically, if you wanted to, planes.
You could do
a racer, though, definitely for Toy Story.
Cars, planes, trains, rescue!
Okay, you could easily do a racer for pretty much any princess movie, because damn near every movie with a Disney princess in it had some kind of, we gotta escape this car chase, rug chase.
We have to run out of here.
Whatever.
We have to avoid this herd of buffalo.
You know, so.
Lion King.
Yep. You know, so there's so much that can be done. Like, the universe is very, very large in 3.0 because of this additional stuff. And they've worked with a lot of really great companies to build really good experiences. One of the sets that I got to play with was the Inside Out set, which the movie had just come out nationwide at the end of E3.
Right, but I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
I haven't seen the movie yet, but they had the playset and characters for the game playable. So I jumped in on that, and it basically runs as a platformer, which I haven't seen in a Disney Infinity realm yet. But it was a straight-on, like, old-school-feeling Mario platform environment.
Okay.
And what they were going for was, you know, because the movie is so much about the little girl's feelings and how they interact and run through the world and trying to get back these certain memories to her, it basically felt like a platformer to them when they started thinking about the movie.
They kind of remind you of Braid?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. Not a lot, a little bit. And so basically, it's a side-scroller and it's a, you know, two-player. It could be a one-player. I jumped in and I played Fear. All the different emotions have different power-ups. You know, so anger is very strong and can take more damage. Fear is very fast because fear wants to run away from the danger. It doesn't want to be around the danger. You have the ability to pick up the other player. You can, in that world, pick up other characters. So, for instance, if you have a character like Sadness, who isn't very aggressive and isn't very happy, so doesn't jump really high because she's not happy to jump.
Got it.
Okay. You can pair up, and so you as another character can pick her up and then jump to whatever height you need to. So there's a lot of collaborative play. You can throw characters someplace. So, like, if I need to throw Sadness over an area so that then I can jump over to that area myself, I can do that. And I like that cooperative play. And because it comes off like a platformer, I think that it's a lot more interesting for parents and kids to play. Because for kids, it's just, oh, let me run and jump and hit all these balloons because that's how I get points. And for parents, it's, okay, well, I have all these spinning objects that I have to get past or get by. And so there's some strategy involved. You can't just blaze through it. Pies are bad. If you get hit by a pie, that's a bad thing. You take damage, too many pies to the face, and you restart because you don't die in an Infinity game. There's no blood in an Infinity game. Your character just restarts. And so, just like in the Super Mario game, if your character restarts, they're brought back onto the screen in a bubble, and they follow around the other player until the second player activates them, breaks the bubble, and lets them loose into the world. Which I think is also good because if I'm playing with my kid and I have to go and tend to dinner or I get a phone call and it's work or whatever, I can die and let my character just follow along theirs while they still play it. I don't have to stop the fun.
And I wouldn't, so.
The playsets that I got to see were a lot of fun. very well detailed. They partnered with a lot of different devs to make sure that they got things right. For the Star Wars universe, they partnered with Ninja Theory to help with all of the sword battles, because they're like, we needed someone who really knew how to animate swordplay to get it right. We did not want to mess this up. And if a battle didn't look like a battle, the community would let us know. So they worked with Ninja Theory on that. They worked with the team that worked with Nintendo on the kart racing to do the kart racing. So they really wanted to make sure that all these new elements of things that they were bringing into the universe felt really balanced and good. And those core animations, I thought this was really interesting, don't just stick to the new characters. So that sword fighting technique that they've brought for the Star Wars world applies to all characters that you bring in to Infinity 3.0. You still will be able to use your previous Infinity figures in the toy box.
Good.
So characters from 1 and 2, and that's something that I think Disney is committed to, which is a good thing, is that if nothing else, you'll be able to use your existing characters in the toy box for any of those activities that you do in the toy box. So that's the racing stuff, the world creation stuff, that kind of thing will always, always be available. For the new sets that they create, for some things you will have to use new figures for. Like, I'm not going to be able to bring Sorcerer Mickey into a Death Star battle. Like, Sorcerer Mickey's
makes
not...
That does make some sense, though.
It makes some sense, though. So, you know, Thor is not going to be piloting a TIE fighter. Like,
no, he'd happening. Be flying around in space.
Correct, because he's
Thor. Because he's a god.
He's a Norse god. But I can bring these guys all together in the toy box. They've also improved some of the toy box creation tools, because they realize not everybody at their core is a creator. And sometimes people just don't know where to start to create a world, so that keeps them from doing it. So they've created basically not a sidestep to creation, but cliff notes to creation. And so it'll walk through and be like, oh, here's like some things that you could put together. Do you like them? We'll create them. And then you can place them wherever you want. Or you can go through and be like, ooh, I like this from this world, and I like that from that world. And it will bring those things together so that you can then place them into your toy box to create your own world. And then you can explore it and drill down. But they really want people getting more into creating things in the toy box and creating these spaces where all these characters that they're picking up could live and work and play. They've beefed up AI for non-playable characters. So one of the levels that I walked through, we switched, and I, because there was a pirate element to it, so I became Captain Hook, even though it was like a Pirates of the Caribbean play area that was created. And basically, I needed to open some gates, but I didn't have a way to do it. They were locked. And so you can call on basically AI and generate them in the game. And so you generate some of the little people from the toy box. And they can be pretty smart in pointing you in the direction of things that you need to do. And so, like, the little guy that popped up was like, hey, look, here's a cannon. I bet we could use it. And you can, by taking the cannon and aiming it at the door. But then you need ammo. So you can take the little guy, the AI, and use him as ammo, fire him at the door, blast open the door, and then he pops out and will follow you along for other missions. So now when you don't have a second player to get through certain things, which would keep you from accomplishing some things, like opening up different vaults and things like that, you had to play through with all characters, and it was a little bit difficult if you didn't have a second player to complete the missions. Now you can actually rely on AI from the toy box, and to not be dumb AI to help you through stuff. So I think that that's a really interesting mechanic.
That's a step in a positive direction.
For sure. So, you know, Infinity is just growing by leaps and bounds. They have their creator community that is creating new experiences and toy box games and things like that that you can then bring into your world. You know, they hired on those five guys who were making new toy box experiences every week. And so they hired them and said, these guys are building like these great toy box things that we couldn't have even imagined putting together. We should probably hire them and let them do this, you know, for us, for a living. that's an amazing thing to really be that tuned into your community. So as impressed as I was with Infinity before, I'm really even more drawn to it from the creative aspect, from the ability to really play Star Wars now, because there's a whole new generation of kids getting introduced to Star Wars on the eve of having a new Star Wars movie.
Yep, where everyone will lose their shit.
Everyone will, in fact, lose their shit, and Lord knows what figures and playsets will be created after that. You know, because the team is very involved with making sure that they get character look right, and animation right, but also that they stay true to the fan base that loves these things. You know, I talked for a long time about the Guardian sets with my PR rep when I was spending time at the Infinity booth at E3, and we were just geeking out about how great the Guardian sets felt and how awesome the characters look. You know, Rocket looks great and doesn't look like a knockoff, and it would be very easy to not pay the right homage to these characters and make knockoffs that were close enough but not exactly to fit the Infinity lore. And the team is just so, they go through so many different versions of character drawings and modelings to make sure that the characters have enough of the Infinity style, but enough of their own look and feel to make sure that they stay true to what the community expects and likes. Mm. And they do it. And they do it every time. So I'm very, very happy with how Infinity looks. I have to say, for the three sets that I played, which were the Inside Out set, I played the Rebel set for Star Wars, and I played as Sabine, who I absolutely love. I'm glad that they are bringing out Boba Fett. It is a exclusive because the set is going to be available first on the PlayStation 3, but ultimately the Fett will be available on the other platforms as well, so you'll be able to get your Fett on.
Woohoo!
Because my backpack's got jets.
It's your Boba, the Fett.
I bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt
to finance my vet.
And that's why I love you, sis. But Fett is coming, and I got a chance to look at the Boba Fett character, and the model looks great. The model looks great. You know, so Disney's doing all the right things, you know, and I can't wait to see what more comes out of it. You know, you've got the entire Marvelverse that's available. Like, that's just crazy to me. All of the new Disney Infinity figures from 2, like, I still haven't gotten all of those guys yet. But I can't wait to play the Big Hero 6 set. I really have to find that guy, because I really want to play that one. The verse is just really large, and I think that it's a great tool for parents to introduce their kids to Disney, and have a Disney experience when they're not in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. It's cheaper than going to Disney World.
But I will say, with 3, they're definitely adding on some more complexity to make it something that the whole family really will have fun playing. And parents will have fun playing by themselves when their kids are asleep. Because I'm telling you, the platformer is really solid.
Okay, I believe you.
So, don't
sleep. I'm sure you're going to make me play it when you
come over. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because so that's like a given.
Don't sleep on Infinity, guys. It's getting really, really good. So that's what I have. I was going to talk about Sniper Ghost Warrior 3, and I'll talk about it briefly, but it really needs an in-depth one. So there'll be a piece that I'll write up on the website about this one coming. So keep your eye on electricsisterhood.com for that. But the core of what I will say about Sniper Ghost Warrior 3 is it's not run and gun.
It's not? I would have thought that.
Nope. And, you know, in a space right now where run and gun is really popular,
mm-hmm.
when you're looking yes. at, you know, the Call of Duty space, and I won't put Siege in that category because it's not really run and gun. It's really be tactical and gun.
Okay.
But shooters, definitely, no one can deny that they are core and up front again. Both in first person and third person, coming even more so this holiday, right? Sniper penalizes you for doing anything other than what a sniper would do, which is be mindful, be cautious, be tactful, and really strategic. So, as an example, the hands-on that I got to do was a mission where there's basically a general that I need to take out before he's able to enrich enough plutonium to make himself a nuke. So, there's about 3 or 4 different ways that I could do this. I can use my sense to see if I could straight up just find a way to sneak into the camp. And the sense allows you to, for instance, track footsteps to see where people may have been walking to place mines, so you know where the mines are, and you know what the safe path through the mines are, so you don't set them off and die. There are, in the mission that I played, 4 different vantage points that I could basically attempt the assassination from. One being 3 meters away from him, the other one being, like, almost 300.
Did you get him?
Not on my first try.
Okay. How about the second time?
It took me 3 bullets.
Oh, okay.
Because wind is a factor.
So of course it is.
But it's a heavy factor.
Did you have a jar to pee in?
No, I didn't have a jar to pee
in. Well, a true sniper might be up there in his sniper nest for a while, and he's going to have to pee.
Truth, but pee is not something that you have to worry about in this game.
Well, if it's going to be a realistic sniper thing, then you need a jar with your pee.
It is pretty realistic, so I had to...
Not without that jar of pee, it's not. Sorry. I'm very passionate about sniper skills.
You're very passionate about your snipers peeing in the woods, is what you're passionate about.
No, they need to
peeing in a jar is not a skill.
Mason jar.
It's a necessity.
Because otherwise, if you pee outside of it, then you'll make sound, and then you'll be found, and then
You'll make sound peeing into the jar, because the sound of liquid on liquid, you know, makes noise.
Well, if you pee slowly, though.
If you pee slowly into the dirt,
no.
You won't make a sound. If you dig a hole in the dirt and pee into the dirt, it won't make a sound.
I can't believe we're having this conversation.
Okay, we are, because you won't let this go and let me get to my thing. Okay? That's the most effective way to pee in the woods and not make a noise. While you're sniping. Anyway.
Okay.
For skills that actually make a damn difference in this game, you have to take into account wind shear, especially the farther out that you are, which means you may have to change your weapon, you change your scope to account.
What if you pee in the wind?
Can you stop worrying about peeing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I did not adjust my scope enough. I thought I had to compensate for the wind, for the drift, because my bullet was going to drift. So my first bullet I missed by, I want to say, just shy of a foot.
Okay.
Second bullet I hit, but not a critical hit. I hit him in the arm because I had to adjust my scope. An alarm started going off, so of course I was then nervous. Third shot hit him in the head. And I took the shot from the farthest out because I wanted to easily be able to get away from people. And not have people directly on my ass so I could get to the evac point. And I was successful at doing that because I took the shot from the farthest out. So that was great. And then I was treated to a presentation where they had a guy run us through a different scenario, which was the closest up close scenario. He was able to make it, but just barely. And they were like, oh, and by the way, guys, he developed the shooting mechanics, so he knows what he's doing. Don't expect it's going to be this easy when you play it. And they were right. But I have to say that it was kind of rewarding to play a shooting game that was much more my speed. I'm getting better at run and gun, but it's not really like where I live. And so being able to survey and have nothing but time, as long as I didn't get spotted by anyone, to survey the land, try to figure out what's the best way of attack for me, for the way that I play, was a real nice change of pace. And the fact that this one is coming to consoles, because primarily it's been on PC, is really a big deal. So CI Games has done a really great job. I mean, it looks amazing. And it's extremely realistic. You could try to go in and run and gun, but you will get severely punished for it. So Ghost Warrior 3, looking really good.
Cool.
And that's what I got. That's what I got.
Sorry, I feel like the pee mechanics would be
Can we not talk about the pee? There are no pee mechanics in the game.
There should be. But
there should not be. I do not want to have to whip my dong out.
What if your target comes out? By the time he comes out for you to take the shot, you really have to pee.
You take the shot and then you pee. You're a professional.
But holding the pee could affect your accuracy because you're concentrating on the fact you have to pee.
No, if you're a good sniper, it's not even factored in. You're concentrating on the shot.
The best snipers know their pee.
The best snipers know their shot.
Anyway.
That's what I got. I can't even anymore with you, so I'm not going to. All I'm going to say is make sure that you check out all the stuff that we write about and talk about on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also check out reviews and interviews at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Make sure that you get our podcast. We put out brand new episodes every week. And if you like our show, then make sure that you tune into the rest of the network because it is amazing, guys. We've got No Borders, No Race over at b3crew.com, hosted by our homeboy, KBD. For beats for your feet, there's always Geek Aggro. Great playlist, EDM, Trap, House. It's going down. Trust us, you'll enjoy it. And then if you've got issues,
he's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program, all about recapping great TV, great entertainment, and just talk about games and stuff too as the issues arise. So make sure that you call in, be part of the show, be part of the streams, be part of the recaps. Oh my God, it's so amazeballs. It's redonk. Gadonk, gadonk. So make sure you check out the Issues Guy over at issuesprogram.com. And then joining the family very soon. The go live is July 7th, people. The Structure Network on board. It is real. The grid is live, peeps. And it is going to be amazing. Comics, movies, entertainment, more games, tech. Holy crap. Holy
Sorry,
crap.
Sorry, it sounded like you just said more gays.
Games, games, more games.
Okay.
Oh, we could have more gays.
We
I'm
could.
All for it.
Absolutely. I just, Bring that's it what on. It sounded like. So I was like,
hey, if Gay Gamer wants to join the fam, we could join fam. We could be fam.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. I love Gay Gamer. But the network is strong, so make sure that you're checking out all the stuff as soon as it goes live. TheStructuredNetwork.com. It's going to be bananas. You're going to love it. It's shaping up so cool. And the team is just ridiculous. I'm so excited to have them be part of fam. Like, big things are coming, guys. Big things are coming. So, with that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Yo.
What shit are you digging this week?
Sniper pee mechanics. That's what I'm digging this week. This is not the first time we're ever going to hear about it, guys. I'm going to bring it up almost every other show now because it's going to be a thing. Hashtag sniper pee. What shit are you digging this week, sis?
I'm not digging sniper pee mechanics, I can tell you that.
Well, you should because they're going to be vital for your snipering experience.
Nope. Not doing it. Not doing it. I am basically digging video games. Like, it was a really great E3. I'm still pumped and hyped about all the news. Like, Guardian. Last Guardian. Come on, man. Like, I'm pumped. It's a great time to be a gamer, and I'm fucking in love with games. So, that's all there is. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next time.
Keep drinking that water, people.